First item of other business is subdivision 2018-13, Anchors Run subdivision, final subdivision plan and landscape plan.
This is a final subdivision plan for the creation of a major cluster subdivision to consist of 265 single-family lots and other ancillary works on 132.71-acre parcel of land, access from Beaver Dam Road, that's a County Route number 23. The property is located on the east side of Beaver Dam Road. Preliminary subdivision plan approval was granted by the Commission at its meeting of October 11th of last year, 2018, and the final subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code and the Subdivision Code and all conditions of approval. Staff are in receipt of all agency approvals. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 6, Parcels 19 and 20.01, and the zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District. Thank you.
Chairman, I make a motion to approve the final subdivision and landscape plan for 2018-13 Anchors Run.
A second.
Moved and seconded to approve the final subdivision plan and landscape plan for subdivision 2018-13 Anchors Run subdivision. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2019-7. Guy, subdivision number 8, phase 2, preliminary subdivision plan.
This is a final subdivision plan for the subdivision of a 28.414-acre parcel of land into four lots and a residual parcel of land consisting of 16.51 acres. This project is phase 2 of the existing phase 1 of the 2019-7 Guy subdivision number 8, which was approved by the Commission at its meeting of June 27th of this year. The parcels are located on the south side of Waterview Road, Sussex County Route 279A, and the subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code and the Subdivision Code, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 12, Parcel 22, and is part of that parcel, and the zoning district is AR1. Thank you.
Ho, ho, ho. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the preliminary site plan for case 2019-7, Guy Subdivision Number 8, Phase 2, preliminary subdivision plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
It's the final.
We have agency approvals.
So you can approve it as revised preliminary and final for phase 2.
I second.
Modified.
Okay. You're a second?
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2019-7, Guy Subdivision Number 8, Phase 2 as a preliminary and a final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Americana Bayside, MRRPC, Weedman Property, Phase 1.
This is a final site plan for Phase 1 of the 116 duplex unit development approved under CZ 1846. The Commission approved the preliminary site plan at its meeting of December 13th of 2018. The final site plan shows the 116 duplex units split into two phases, with Phase 1 containing 58 units. The Phase 1 site plan complies with the Zoning Code and the Subdivision Code and all conditions of approval for the RPC. All agency approvals for Phase 1 have now been received. The tax parcel is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 39. The zoning, is MRRPC, Medium Density Residential Planned Community. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I will abstain.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the final site plan for Americana Bayside, MRRPC, Weedman Property, Phase 1.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the Americana Bayside, MRRPC, Weedman Property, Phase 1. Final site plan as a final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Americana Bayside MRRPC Point Amenity Request for Clarification of Conditions of Approval.
This is a request for clarification of conditions of approval for the Americana Bayside Medium Density Residential Planned Community, access from Lighthouse Road, that's Route 54. The 1,700-unit RPC was approved by County Council at its meeting of February 6th of 2001, subject to 24 conditions, some of which were subsequently revised in 2003 and 2007. Following a series of discussions with staff, the applicant is requesting clarification of the following matters. So the first is condition 22. which state, originally stated that the conditions of approval state that public access shall be permitted at the end of State Route 394, and that access shall include sufficient parking for 8 vehicles. The summary of this is that in 2018, a set of bollards were installed to allow pedestrian access, but to deny vehicular access. These bollards were subsequently removed on April 15th of this year, following a complaint being received by the Planning and Zoning Office and action by staff. The applicant is now requesting clarification from the Commission as to the interpretation of this condition and whether the intent is to only require pedestrian access to the end of State Route 394, as it is the applicant's intention to install bollards, and the applicant's prior request for a gate that was previously considered by the Commission has now been removed. The second is an interpretation of condition number 24, which states that all commercial activities shall be limited to the south side of Route 54, except for a 1.27-acre parcel designated as Tax Map District 533, Map 19, Parcel 17.01. And following discussion between staff and the applicant is requesting clarification from the Commission as to whether the Hall House building, previously approved by the Commission on August 24th of 2017 as part of the Point amenities, is permitted to be used as a restaurant to serve both residents of the RPC and non-residents. And if the use is permitted by the conditions of approval, the applicant wishes to add an addition to the Pool House building to provide additional seating. Staff have requested a seating plan to indicate which parts of the pool building would be used for restaurant use and whether external seating is proposed, but we've not yet received this. So
just to follow up on that, remember this one was on the Commission's agenda quite some time ago. And we actually had a really good meeting with representatives from Bayside and their engineer just to try to sort through it. So I'll start with condition 22, which dealt with the public access at the end of Route 394. Access shall include sufficient parking for 8 vehicles. When we went back and sort of dug through the plans on that, and also taking a common sense approach to it, you know, it was never contemplated that the road would literally go straight exactly to the water's edge. You know, you're not going to be able to drive vehicles down and into the water. And in fact, the marina is not permitted there, so you couldn't do it anyhow. You know, what does that mean? That means that, you know, you have to be able to get out to that general area, and then pedestrians can walk out to it, which is the way it's set up. We talked about the gate, which denied, you know, pedestrians or anybody else access to it, but the bollards would not. So the question is whether does public access mean that you can drive all the way down to the water's edge? I mean, I don't think anybody, even when it was approved or now, would interpret it to mean that. So in other words, I think it's, after that meeting, it's sort of everybody's agreement that the bollards are fine.
Okay.
Why are they putting bollards up now?
Well, I think it's to prevent people from driving all the way down.
Are people driving down there? I mean, I know people haven't in the old days.
Yeah.
People did.
Yeah, and that's sort of the issue, you know. And I don't know that the road actually went all the way to the water's edge, but people still drove down there, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So it's to kind of control who's driving where out there at that very point. So.
Right. But it is open to the public.
Yeah.
And there's parking.
There's parking.
Kayak down.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's pedestrian access, and there's ample parking before you get to the bollards on the north side of the road.
So I don't know with that, you know, I suppose you could have a motion that says that the bollards are appropriate under condition 22 and just leave it at that. You know, I think that's sort of simple enough if you're, because we're not amending the condition, we're just saying so that the applicant knows and staff knows, you know, sort of what that
clarifying
means.
Clarifying the condition.
Yeah. The second one was a little bit more complicated, and we dug through that as well on what can happen at the pool. You know, because there was, without a lot of information on, there was concern that it maybe was something other than what they were asking for. We went back through a lot of the site plans for Bayside, and it mentioned that being an area that's, you know, potentially for commercial use. You know, I don't want to say that from today one, but for a long time. So that was contemplated. So the bigger issue is just making sure, and I think this is why staff had asked for sort of a seating plan. You know, we want to know what it is, make sure it complies with, you know, it being a commercial use and it doesn't expand beyond the area that was originally contemplated back in 2001 and after that on the plans.
But was the condition originally, I mean, okay, somebody's selling hot dogs to the landowners only, that's commercial. That's a different thing than selling hot dogs to the people who live there and anybody else who wants to wander.
Well, it said, and I don't have those plans in front of me, but it talked about it just being commercial without any limitation out of that point. I mean, that's what it said all along. So, the focus of Condition 24 really, and I wasn't, Mr. Wheatley was here, I wasn't here in 2001, I was shortly after that, but it was mainly the focus of it was, you know, what are we doing with all the substantial commercial that was, you know, up sort of around Route 54?
Whose condition was that? Was that ours or was that county council?
Without going back and looking, I couldn't tell on that. Okay. That was something that we didn't go back into.
Okay. Well, I guess the question there really kind of comes down to is, are you bothered by a restaurant open to the public being down there?
Also knowing, and this is sort of the part B of that, they still would need to come in with a site plan for it. So you all still have oversight on that. If it's something that's larger than you think was originally approved, you know, going back to when Bayside first started, you know, you have a say on that on the site plan review as well.
Well, should we say something about that now, though, so that they don't go to a lot of trouble of building, you know, coming in with a site plan for, like, we're planning to build, the next... giant disco here, and we go, well, no, that's not what we were thinking.
No, we do, that is, there is that in the information, in the packet, that shows that. There's a lot of stuff in front of it. And I would say that the general area of it has not changed.
No.
So, if I can assist, the addition is just to enclose the area where there is already existing external seating. And I think there are some photographs in the packet of that area. So.
There, like chairs stacked up and stuff like that.
We have asked that when the site plan comes back, that it be clear as to where the restaurant is and what its extent is. So.
So if we are okay with the commercial use there, do we still have some control over the size and scope of what happens there?
Yes, I would say in a variety of ways.
That's what I think is on my mind.
And I think there's, having gone through the plans, I think there's potentially an issue with saying commercial can't be there when, and I'm not saying it's these five people, but over the years the commission has approved the master plan and other plans for Americana Bayside that designated that area as being commercial.
Yeah, and what I'm just for what it's worth, I'm one of five, I don't have a problem with what they want to do there. I think in that setting, in that community, it's probably something people want and will use, and if somebody finds their way in there or is invited in there that doesn't have to live there and wants to use the restaurant, I don't see that being a problem. I just want to make sure that we, as Ms. Stevenson pointed out, we don't get something we weren't thinking about at the time. Okay, as long as we still have that ability to say no to something that isn't what we're thinking, but I mean, I think we're looking at it right now is what they're more or less want to do, and I'm not bothered by that.
Never mind.
So what's that motion? We'll have to
start. Well, let's go back to the, hold on, let me roll back to the notes.
First one is bollards are appropriate. Yeah. That's easy. Three words. That's good.
Yeah.
That
one's easy.
I would say let's word it a little more formally. That the location of bollards on. Hold on. I apologize.
The end of the road.
Get two or three whereas in there.
Hold on. Let me just get back to the. I would agree with that. The commission recognizes that bollards are appropriate at the end of State Route 394 and do not deny public access to the end of that area.
Does bollards create any safety issues? Say somebody's down in the water having their kayak, they start to drown, or they have an accident. Can safety vehicles get back there?
I believe there's a way to get around.
Yeah, it's no different than any other public.
Is there anybody here?
Area where you park and carry.
Yeah, they're all the way in the back.
I figured they were here, so.
What about the Ballards that are on like I-95? That, well, I don't know that, I'm sorry, the marker things are on I-95. And you can drive right over them and keep going. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, and that's going to be part of the site plan review ultimately too. You know, I know that Ballards all over the place. You know, they're putting up on the Ocean City Boardwalk everywhere now. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I see them all over the place, but at the same time, it's enough of a ways down there that it could be.
Yeah, I believe you can get around the Ballards with a vehicle if needed.
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah. Hold on, your name.
I'm sorry. My name is Steve Marsh. I'm an engineer with GMV. They're removable. The reason that they're asking, so they're showing up in red there, and the reason is because there's a lot of pedestrian activity to the east of that point, and so it was for safety for the pedestrians there. They are removable, and there's a way to get around them if someone really wanted to get around them. But they're removable, so they come out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep going with that motion.
Well, I've got to start over, so.
Planning Commission recognizes Ballards are appropriate at the end of.
State Route 394.
Okay.
And that the placement of Ballards does not violate Condition 22's requirement that public access may be maintained to the end of State Route 394.
So moved.
I abstain.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the use of the Ballards in accordance with the language in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, that's one.
You know, on the second one, I don't know that we even really need a motion because
I think you're just recognizing that the use as commercial for the restaurant is consistent with the master plan and the overall items, and you will review it as part of a separate site plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the general consensus of the commission?
Yeah. They've heard that I don't want a disco there, so
Okay. All right, then. Referring back to our public hearing.
Thank you. Thanks.
Our first public hearing was subdivision 2019-26, Michael W. Peterson and Mary E. Peterson. Let me just share this with you. I think we need, I'm not opposed to allowing it to happen, but it must be conditioned on the existence of a road maintenance agreement.
Agreed.
Because as Ms. Stevenson pointed out, this subdivision gets granted, there's going to be somebody else, and so we're going from a 19 to a 22 lot subdivision, then it'll be a 24, a 26, a 28. We need, you know, we've seen this other places where if they don't want to take care of the street, then we just might as well find out right now. This is the best way to do it. Somebody comes in, wants to do something. I'm not saying they can't do it, but I would like to see it, you know, if it's a favorable motion, that it be predicated on a road maintenance.
Yeah, this one's a little bit unique, so I would say on Peterson, just go ahead and defer it so we can get that one ready.
Okay, make a motion to defer.
A second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2019-26, Michael W. Peterson and Mary E. Peterson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carrier, next item.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, looking back on that, we did go back and look at, remember there was a question by somebody in opposition about whether there was a signature that was twice for one lot.
Yeah.
That's maybe the case because it's the same property, but still, it's whether it's 14 or 15, it's still more than 51%.
Yeah, I had that thought.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Our next public hearing was subdivision 2019-27, Lands of Harbor Homes LLC.
If no one else has any comments, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2019-27 for Lands of Harbor Homes LLC based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Two, the land is zoned AR1, agricultural residential. The purpose, the proposed subdivision density of two lots on 13.79 acres of land is significantly less than the allowable density in the AR1 zone. Three, the proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Four, the proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Five, the proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. Six, given the small size of the subdivision, a waiver from the street design and buffer requirement is appropriate. Six, this preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there will be no more than two lots within the subdivision. Any further subdivision of the residual land shall require another public hearing. B, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. C, the final site plan shall include an easement for the use and maintenance of the common driveway. D, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of Sussex County. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of subdivision 2019-27, Lands of Harbor Homes LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulations or with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 2202, John H. Passwaters.
So I guess I wish I had asked a couple more questions.
On this one too, let me give some preliminary thoughts on it, if I may, Mr. Hopkins. You know, so we've done landscaping businesses before. We've seen a lot of them. More typically, they are there's either properties of other ownership around them, or there's houses around them that somebody else lives in. Looking at this one, I hope I wasn't presumptive in doing this, but prepared a motion that you might use, Mr. Hopkins and the commission, if you want to. I will say, given the fact that this has been a property used historically for agricultural purposes, and because there's not anything else in the immediate vicinity of it, some of the conditions that we would put on a landscaping business in a more developed area, I did not include here. Oftentimes we require, and this a perfect example is the one we had after this, which had some houses around it. Oftentimes we require the materials to be stored in bins, that you can't create mulch or anything like that. That you got to deal with backup beeping on vehicles and things like that. I didn't think to include them here, Mr. Hopkins, in the commission, only because I didn't think that, given where this property is located, there were necessarily the same concerns as we might have in other locations. So I just want to sort of lay that out and distinguish it from some of the others that we've had in the past.
I appreciate that. I don't care who it is that would come before us. When they have those conditions, and they've been operating out of there, the boy's grandfather had a reputation for working a whole lot more than 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, 7 days a week. That would have been a short day for him. And
now keep in mind, we got to act on what's in the record. So your knowledge already.
Go ahead and put that in if you want. all of this is probably superfluous because they just need to get something on the record where they can continue to function in a proper way. But
the other issue with this one in particular, it seems like, is it's been used agriculturally for decades, if not generations. The use is similar. Under our code, it's different because it goes from agriculture to landscaping, but the use and the equipment's very similar. In this instance, where you've had that agricultural use and given what's around it, it seems to some extent unreasonable that you would now impose a whole bunch of conditions on what exactly they've been doing for decades and generations, if that makes sense.
Okay. And yet, I guess the downside would be, and this is one of the questions that I would have asked, and I'll try to remember next time when this happens, if we were to say, you know, pretty much, you know, more hours, whatever, 6 to 9 o'clock, something like that, 7 days a week. The only downside would be if he sells the property, I don't know, I guess he must be the owner because he's the applicant. Then that would be an irritant, but yeah. When he sells the property, if you were to sell the property, can you just write that into the deed that conditional use is now void?
No, we don't really ever do that. Yeah, transfers by property.
But they couldn't do anything other than landscaping.
He can only do what was approved, though. Yeah.
And it has to be, because that's what they've approved for.
What if he wants to do a little bit something other than landscaping in there? Well, let me back up and ask the first question.
Let me answer that. He's applied for landscaping, and the ordinance says landscaping. So, and we've talked about snow removal, because that's sort of inherent. Right. If you start doing something that's completely unrelated, just like anybody else, they got to come back in, because it's not in the ordinance.
Is that area on Route 13 there, is that within the appropriate commercial area?
Well, it's in a developing area according to the comprehensive plan, so a number of uses could occur.
So if he would have asked for commercial, that would have been something that could have been considered reasonably.
Yeah, there's commercial across the street from it as well. There's not a lot of commercial up and down that particular area, but right across
the streets.
Across the 13, there's a little square of commercial.
Directly across. The street's produce?
I don't know what's there, but I know on the zoning map, there shows a square of commercial.
And property. He can always come back.
And ask for that. Yeah. Okay.
So, Mr. Hawkins, one of the things, based on the motion that I drafted, you know, we didn't really talk about manufacturing or mulching or shredding or grinding of materials. You might want to delete that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was one of those ones that we've had before, and given this location, it may not be applicable. I should have said one of the things, too, that makes this one different from others that we've seen typically is that it is on Route 13. You know, I mean, that's one of the three main roads in Sussex County. You know, it's not on one of the smaller roads like we typically see these, right. You know, so that I think that also mitigates against some of the conditions maybe too.
Okay, thank you. All right, let me see if I can make a motion. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for conditional use 2202 for John Passwater for a landscape business based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The property is located along Route 13, which is an appropriate location for this limited type of use. Two, the site is located within a developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. This type of use is appropriate within this area according to the plan. Three, the property is zoned AR1 agriculture residential. The use of the property is as a landscape business is consistent with the underlying agricultural zoning of the property. Four, the applicant has stated that his landscaping company provides a service to a wide variety of Sussex County residents and businesses. This intended use is of a public or semi-public character that will benefit the residents and business of Sussex County. Five, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. This use shall be limited to a landscape business. That was A.
Yeah.
One lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. C, the hours of operation shall be limited to 6 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Monday through Sunday. Mr. Chairman, that's one. Hold, I got more. Okay, that was C. B, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. E, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including any entrance or roadway improvements. F, the final site plan shall clearly show all areas for vehicle equipment storage and parking. And these areas shall be clearly marked on the site itself. There shall not be any parking or storage within the property setbacks. G, failure to comply with any of these conditions shall be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. And H, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Planning and Zoning. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2202, John H. Passwater, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I do want to remind the applicant that this group makes a recommendation to county council. You know you're going to have another hearing in front of them and you get to do this all over again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Our next public hearing was a conditional use number 2203, Christopher F. Booth.
Mr. Chairman, just before anybody does anything on this, just to sort of, I don't want, you know, there to be a concern. This one, just when I looked at these two applications, this one, you know, I didn't want to presume it was going to be approved or denied one way or another, but just looking at the aerial photo of it, there were just other houses around there. There, you know, there was more complicating factors than the other one to take into consideration. So, you know, no matter what you do, I would request the commission so that we make sure we get it, address it correctly, just defer on this one.
And what's the deal? What is our county rules on all that garbage?
Yeah. So, the concern has been passed on to the constable's office, and they will go out and work with property owners if they determine there is a violation that per the county code.
So what? And what about this burning? I mean, you can't just go burn stuff all the time in your backyard, can you?
He said he was just doing it for us as entertainment. Like, they're having a fire outside.
I don't even think you can do that, though, unless it's, like, they put the restrictions on from, like, what is it, April to October or something. And he stated that he does it in the summertime.
I'm getting the feeling like all the extra brush that is in the back of his pickup truck at the end of the day, he burns it. That's what I think's happening.
Uh-huh. Well, I believe he stated he used some of the remains from his...
Yeah, he stated that he used the bark and stuff, but you know that's what's happening.
The trimmings, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if you, as a neighbor, you know, to have, you know, somebody on the 4th of July another time, you know, put some smoke in your house because they got a burn pit. You can't have that on a regular basis, you know, every other day, burning.
I'm so concerned about that trash, though, my gosh.
Well, yeah, I would like us to at least defer action on this.
I'll make a motion.
And also the constable, they'll go out, you know, and they'll explain to him, you know, you've got so much time that you've got to address it, or we're coming back. And they will try to work with them.
Yeah, if there is a violation that has been notified, they are given a notice of violation. They are given a time frame to resolve it. If they can't resolve it within a certain time frame, we do try to work with people. If not, then it will go to court.
Is this also a case, though, where we might want to consider a buffer between a forested trees or bushes or fence or something between
the
properties?
There's got to be something, because that's not fair to the other property.
I think we do need to have stipulations to protect the neighbor. It's very close. Obviously, they have two different interpretations. I've encouraged them to go form one. I hope they didn't.
And clearly, they don't want that in their front yard because they put it all the way in the back of their house, so it's not fair to the property owner.
Yeah,
so I make a motion to defer.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2203, Christopher J. Booth. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Ladies and gentlemen, at 7:44, that concludes our agenda for this evening. Does anyone have anything to add to the order? Mr. Cornwell, any final words of wisdom?
Everybody have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Indeed. With that being said, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing. Merry Christmas.